Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You look at any big public project, right? A new train line, maybe fixing up the water system. There's always this one huge question hanging over it. Are we actually getting value for the money we're spending?
Exactly. And that idea, value for money, or VFM, it's sort of the ultimate test for public spending. Our sources, well, they define it pretty clearly. It's about using resources in the best possible way to get the results you intended, basically squeezing every bit of benefit out of those tax dollars.
Right. And what we want to do today is give you a kind of roadmap to understanding how VFM is assessed. It often comes down to these four E's, and then we'll really dig into the major risks, often, you know, human factors, that can cause these vital projects to just fail.
Okay, let's unpack that framework. We usually start with three core E's. Economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. These aren't just abstract terms. They actually map onto different stages of a project.
I can already see a bit of a tension there. Like, economy and effectiveness seem like bookends almost. Economy sets the goal. Effectiveness judges the result. Where does efficiency fit?
Well, economy. That gets decided really early on, usually in the planning phase, maybe stage four, they call it. This is where you define what the project is, connect it to the big picture strategy, and sort of lock in what you expect. Timelines, costs, the budget. It basically sets up that initial VFM promise.
Okay, so the promise is made. Then efficiency has to kind of carry the ball during the actual work, the implementation.
Absolutely. Efficiency is all about the doing, making sure you're not wasting time, avoiding scope creep, you know, when the project keeps getting bigger, and just using resources well. It's about protecting that VFM promise you made back at the economy stage.
If you're inefficient, you're already drifting off course.
Precisely.
And effectiveness, that comes right at the end. Stage 9, closeout. It's just checking the final score. Did we actually achieve what we said we would way back when?
That's the core triangle, yes. But there's also a really important fourth E, especially for public projects, equity. It's kind of overarching. It forces you to ask, okay, we built this thing, but who benefits? Is it fair? Are we serving the communities that genuinely need it most? Or just, you know, the ones with the loudest voices.
That's crucial. And our sources point out that the riskiest moment for VFM is right back at that early planning stage.
Yeah.
You're locking in that promise, but often based on what? A class 3 estimate.
Yeah.
Or maybe only 10%, maybe up to 40% of the design is even done. You're basically guessing the budget.
Exactly. It's a high-risk moment because the definition is so low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these cognitive biases just creep in and really mess things up. There are two big ones. First, there's optimism bias. This is that almost unconscious tendency for people planning projects to just be way too positive about everything. Costs will be lower, it'll be faster, the benefits will be amazing.
Yeah, the sources say that often stems from just not defining the scope properly or maybe poor management later on. But the second one sounds sneakier. Strategic misrepresentation.
That one's more deliberate. It's when people intentionally lowball the costs and puff up the benefits just to get the project approved. You know, play the budget game. They want the green light, so they fudge the numbers.
So how do you fight that? It seems baked in.
Well, it's interesting. HM Treasury in the UK, in their Green Book Guide, they basically acknowledged this. They said, look, you can't just wish bias away. So they recommend actually building in adjustments for optimism bias, forcing planners to increase cost estimates based on historical data from similar projects. Like, for standard civil engineering, you might have to add, say, 20% automatically. They're making pessimism mandatory in a way.
Okay, so if we know the economy stage, the planning, is inherently flawed, how do we use that middle stage efficiency to try and salve on the VFM? What actually works during implementation?
A lot of it comes down to good old-fashioned management. Strong governance, actively managing risks, really clamping down on that scope creep. But honestly, a big part is cultural. We need to shift away from that traditional sort of confrontational client-contractor relationship, the U.S. versus them thing.
Yeah, that fragmented approach just sets everyone up for failure. The sources talk about moving towards real collaboration, shared goals.
Exactly. And more integration. Things like getting contractors involved much earlier in the design process so everyone's on the same page from the start.
Makes sense. These changes help close that gap between what was planned and what actually happens.
Right. It's about controlling what you can control during delivery.
So wrapping this up for you, the listener, VFM isn't just a box you tick. It's meant to be this ongoing, structured thing you track right across the project's life with clear checks and balances.
Yeah, and here's maybe a final thought to chew on. If the team doing the work, the implementer, does everything right, they're super efficient, they manage risks well, but the project still doesn't deliver value for money, then maybe the problem wasn't the execution. Maybe it was unavoidable risks just popping up. Or, more likely, maybe that original VFM promise, back in the economy stage, was just fundamentally flawed from the start. Maybe it was never truly achievable.